From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called Needs to Open Our Mouths. The text is Psalm 81 and verse 10. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What an encouragement to pray! Our human notions would lead us to ask small things, because our deservings are so small. But the Lord would have us request great blessings. Prayer should be as simple a matter as the opening of the mouth. It should be a natural, unconstrained utterance. When a man is in earnest, he opens his mouth wide, and our text urges us to be fervent in our supplications. Yet it also means that we may make bold with God and ask many and large blessings at His hands. Read the whole verse and see the argument. I am Jehovah, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Because the Lord has given us so much, He invites us to ask for more, yea, to expect more. See how the little birds in their nest seem to be all mouth when the mother comes to feed them. Let it be the same with us. Let us take in grace at every door. Let us drink it in as a sponge sucks up the water in which it lies. God is ready to fill us if we are only ready to be filled. Let our needs make us open our mouths. Let our faintness cause us to open our mouths and pant. Yea, let our alarm make us open our mouths with a child's cry. The opened mouth shall be filled by the Lord Himself. So be it unto us, O Lord, this day. One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Sign and Seal of Justification. In Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, the Apostle Paul shows from the Old Testament Scriptures that Abraham was justified by faith before he was circumcised. In other words, circumcision was a seal of what had already taken place. The Jews of Paul's day depended upon their relation to Abraham as their entrance into heaven. Paul demolished that error by showing that Abraham was declared righteous or justified in God's sight while he was still a Gentile. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, no religious rites, no church sacrament such as baptism plays any part in justification. Only faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross can do that. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce this message, The Sign and Seal of Justification.
Continue with the studies in the book of Romans. We return to chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read the passage from verse 9 to the end of verse 16. You'll see that the verse stops in the middle of a sentence. I haven't overlooked that. Simply to say that the Apostle Paul's thought patterns didn't necessarily limit themselves to modern punctuation. And it's always difficult in this particular part of Romans 4 to know exactly where to draw a line. And I think, as many others seem to do as well, verse 16 brings us through to a significant point, and then verse 17 to something new. So we will read verse 9 to the end of verse 16. You should remember that the verses immediately before speak of the blessings of those who are justified. Now the question, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of this passage, a passage that I think even on a first reading tonight you will recognize is complex in its structure, tight in its logic, and as far as the Jews of Paul's day were concerned, absolutely devastating in its conclusions. You will recollect that Romans chapters 4 and 5 give us the details of how Paul fills out the points about justification that he had made in chapter 3 from verse 21 through 31. In those verses in chapter 3, he gives us a list of characteristics about justification. And then in chapters 4 and 5, he takes those up one after another, and he demonstrates them, and he proves them. Now in chapter 4, and we have seen quite a bit of this already, he's proving from the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures, that justification first is by faith, that it is without law, and yet it is witnessed by the law and the prophets, and is intended for all who believe, and this is the burden of the last few verses, 29 and 30, particularly in chapter 3, it is not for the Jews only. Now in the last part of Romans 4, that's the part starting at verse 9, really through the end of the chapter, but particularly the portion we have been reading tonight, Paul is focusing his attention on this particular point, that justification is unto all and upon all them that believe, that it is not limited to the Jewish nation or people. That's the whole point of this latter part of Romans 4. And in order to prove that, Paul has to reiterate what he has already dealt with, that justification is by faith and it is apart from the law. He must do that. But he must do something else as well. He must address the whole subject of circumcision, the seal of the covenant given to Abraham so many years before. Now this was necessary because of how the Jews understood that sign of circumcision and the importance and significance that they attached to it. To the Jews, this sign in the flesh was indispensable to acceptance with God. You must keep that in mind. That was the Jewish thinking. It was indispensable to acceptance with God. So that in effect, it meant that justification was forever tied to a ritual of the Mosaic economy. And there were vast implications in that thinking. First of all, it would mean that the Mosaic economy must last throughout the world's ages. It was not temporary to them, it was permanent. And second, it meant that Paul's entire argument that justification was by faith alone, apart from law and legal ritual and legal dispensation, was altogether false. So he had to deal with this matter of circumcision. Also, to the Jewish mind, this ritual of circumcision and making it indispensable to justification and acceptance with God meant that justification and acceptance with God were restricted to Jews only and to others who became Jews by accepting the Mosaic ritual and the sign of circumcision in particular. Now clearly this was no small matter, and the Apostle Paul simply had to meet it. And you'll notice how he did it. When he started off in chapter 4 proving that justification was by faith apart from law and the works of human merit, he appealed immediately to Abraham for very many reasons. Number one, Abraham would be the most obvious a case that an objector would bring forward. And secondly, Abraham was the outstanding case in the Old Testament where God had spoken of a person being justified. And so he appeals to Abraham. But he goes a little further and he buttresses his argument by quoting from the 32nd Psalm. And he talks about how David described the blessednesses of the man who's justified by faith alone without works, having the righteousness of justification unto life imputed freely to him. We looked at that last Sabbath evening. Now, having dealt with David, talking about the great blessing of being justified, he goes right back to Abraham and he asks the question, this blessedness of being justified, does it come only upon the circumcision? Or does it extend to the uncircumcision also? And his answer was clear and undeniable, but it was shocking to his Jewish audience, because this is what he was teaching. Go back and read your Old Testament. It's always a good thing, as I pointed out a few Sabbath evenings ago in religious controversy, to go back and see what the Bible actually says. So he says, go back and read your Old Testament, and you'll discover that Abraham was justified long before he was circumcised. while he was what the Jews later would come to term a Gentile. He was justified long before he was circumcised, and he, many years later, received the sign of circumcision as a seal, which means, and we look at this more fully in a moment, a witness or assurance or a guarantee of the righteousness that the Lord had already imputed to him by faith alone. Now, from this central argument, Paul reaches three radical conclusions. And I want you to think them through with me tonight. The first one is that circumcision plays no part in obtaining justification. The sacrament of circumcision, Paul says, plays absolutely no part in obtaining justification. The history of Abraham is emphatic on this point, verse 9 through the first part of verse 11. It's clear he lived for years as a justified man without circumcision. And circumcision added absolutely nothing to the righteousness that God had already imputed to him. Now this is clear. There's no way around the Old Testament record. And I want us to understand it, because in a little while we're going to see that this is more than history. This is ongoing theology. This is Bible teaching relevant to our day. Justification must never be made dependent upon a sacrament or an ordinance. And to make it such is to deny the very fundamental teaching of the Word of God on both justification and the meaning and significance of a sacrament. Having said that, however, circumcision was related to Abraham's faith. We read that it was given to him for a sign. It's called the sign of the covenant. Indeed, so closely related with the covenant that at times it is even called the covenant of circumcision. Not that circumcision is the substance of the covenant, it is the sign of the covenant. That is, it explained it. It signified that covenant in some way. It was a physical mark that signified the special relationship into which God had called Abraham and his seed. It was a sign. But to Abraham it was also a seal. Now, a seal is that which secures. A seal is something that authenticates the reality, in this case, of the righteousness of the faith that he had while he was yet uncircumcised. A seal guaranteed the inviolability of that righteousness which had been imputed to him. Now I want you to understand the force of this seal. And I want you to look at Romans chapter 4, because I'm going to have to say some somewhat controversial things tonight. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4 and let's stick with what the Bible actually says. And you will discover that as a seal, circumcision could apply only to one who was already justified. Now keep that in mind, because all of this has much more than historical significance and importance. Everybody, of all persuasions, I think, would have to agree that the Bible clearly teaches a close affinity between circumcision and Christian baptism. You can't get around that. Colossians chapter 2 would make it so clear that it's foolish even to question the fact that in many ways in the New Testament baptism is the initiatory rite into the church, as circumcision was the initiatory rite in the Old Testament. So there is very clearly an affinity.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.